When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, with another episode of Showtime with Coop. Insightful BS with some of my Laker teammates and NBA friends. And, you know, we've had Michael Thompson on before, but I really want to give him a grand introduction. You know, there's pretty, and then there's prettiest, and then there's beautiful. And Michael comes in under beautiful because he loves – to feel that he was the best-looking Laker on the team. Best-looking, skin color-wise, best-looking eyes, best-looking hair, because he had an afro at that time.
Best-looking physique.
And best-looking, he thought he had the best game on the court. So anyway, we're back with Michael Thompson. And MT, tell me about it. How you doing?
You got to remember, Coop, back in the 80s, Showtime era, myself and Kermit Washington, we were the first guys to go to the gym and start pumping iron so we could start all look like David Robinson. Remember that, Coop?
Yeah, you look very, you know what, MT, that's the one thing you had about, you had a nice body, man. But we always thought it was filled with marshmallows and not iron.
Exactly. Back in those days, Ari, they used to tell basketball players, don't lift weights, it'll mess up your shot. And that's how stupid and how primitive training was back then. But I was 32 when I joined the Lakers, and since I was pumping iron like that, I never felt better in my life. I felt like I was 22. I tried to tell Coop and the other fellas to do it, but they never got into it.
When you look at the difference between weight training, you know, when you see Clay in the type of training he does versus what you guys did, like, just speak to, like, the difference in all of that in terms of what you ate, how you worked out, those kinds of things.
Oh, it's gone from back in our day, Coop, when it came to physical training and nutrition and probably year-round working outs compared to the guys today, it's like comparing black and white TV to HD TV today. Wow. How advanced the training has become in the NBA and all the diets that they've improved with, and how that's also prolonged a lot of these guys. That's why guys like LeBron can play at such a high level so late into their careers, because of the improvement in nutrition and physical training and off-season training too. Now, back in the old days, Coop and I, you know, the season would be over and we wouldn't play basketball again until probably, you know, a month before camp. I don't know about Coop, but that's what I would do. But in the meantime, between the last championship game we played and, say, getting back to camp, I would be playing tennis, riding my bike, and lifting weights every day, 6 days a week. And that's how I stayed in shape. So I was ahead of the game.
You know, we had to use those vices because, again, this guys make so much money. And, again, I love the fact, because the players today that are making money, I like to feel myself, Michael, and well as all the players in the 80s has enhanced that for them. But with that, they've been able to go out and hire personal trainers, somebody that can be with. I mean, LeBron's trainer, if it wasn't for the quarantine, travels with him, I heard, on the road. So they're always that performance ability they have. We had to work on our own with that. But you know what? It is amazing how much these guys spend, and you should spend, on keeping your body tip-top, because this, your body is your money-making machine. And if it breaks down, then when that contract year come up, like Michael and I have, we never got that big dollar money. But we were able to play and play at a high level, and I think that's the key with the game today, is that guys have the ability where they can play. You know, our maximum, I think, Mike, in the 80s, you only thought you could play for 10 or 12 years. Now these guys think they can play for 20, 25 years. So it's going to be interesting to see that. Thoughts?
You know, but even though if I was playing today, Coop, and if you and I were playing today, with your abilities, with your 3-and-D skills, Coop, you would be making you'd be making $20 million bucks a year. No doubt in my mind. Yep. That's the range you'd be thinking. I'd be making 30 because, you know, I do a little bit more than you guys do. But but I tell you one thing, Coop. If I was making the money these guys are making today, I still wouldn't pay no personal trainer. I could do it on my own. I don't need no guy to tell me to lift weights or to stretch or to stretch these rubber bands a certain way. So, hey, I don't want to try to take anybody's earning powers away from them, or earning opportunities away from them. If guys want to hire them, that's fine. but I could get and stay in shape on my own in the off season. I did it before, and I was still doing it today by myself.
All right, that's probably the first thing I agree with this guy with, you know, because, yeah, why pay somebody to tell you to lift weight? That's something that you should have personal pride in. Michael and I never really agreed a lot on things, but I will agree with him on that.
It's funny, I look at your Twitter account, Michael, and it's a wealth of information. You have a great Twitter account. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. How do you come up with what you're going to, like, so you have the most random thoughts. You're tweeting about Damian Lillard, and that's not random. And you called him a Mako shark, which is awesome, which I want to get into. But then you start talking about Death Valley, and now you're talking about planetary alignment and Venus. How does this come up?
Well, because I'm the anti-Michael Cooper and James Worthy. Green was well read. Magic, Byron Scott, all those guys, and just basketball and watching Soul Train back in the old days, you know? But I was a man, loved to go out and read about space travel. I loved to read about finances. I loved to read about world affairs, science topics. So I was a man who tried to educate myself in many areas outside of the basketball world. But all Coop and the boys cared about was winning championship rings, which is good. And nothing wrong with that, but you got to expand your horizons. So I was very well read. I remember too, I grew up in the Bahamas. So I was on TV back then when I was growing up. I was sitting around watching cartoons all day like Coop back there in New Mexico. I was out there reading and hunting for sharks and trying to expand my mind.
All right. That's why we carried his ass to these championships we won. He wasn't at the forefront. He was carried on a coattail rider like most of the people. But something I want to get to Michael, what do you think of the bubble play? I know we've kind of explored that a little bit, but now that they started the playoffs, what do you think about that?
It's been amazing.
The bubble play has been great, Coop. It's been great, guys, and everybody out there. It's been great to watch, but something's missing. You know, it's just not the same unless you're watching the guys at Staples Center or in the Moda Center or in their respective arenas with the fans there. The fans are missing. The whole atmosphere of being in these individual arenas and their home courts missing. This is better than nothing. I'm glad they're playing. But, boy, sure, it just feels – it's not the same without the fans, Laker fans, filling up Staples Center.
But they got virtual. I'm going to go virtual the next time. I think tonight the Lakers play, so you might see me doing this on the virtual thing behind.
Good. Yeah. Put all you Lakers studs up there. You're right.
So, you know, something that's kind of interesting to me is there are certain things in the playoffs you can always count on. You know, experience matters. Home court advantage matters. I mean, do you think the rules change a little bit, Michael, when you look at who you think could win a title? Or do you still think that those components, obviously home court advantage won't, but do you still think experience and sort of other things that normally matter in the playoffs will matter this year?
Well, experience is always important, but you're right. The fact that they're on a neutral site, a neutral court, is kind of sterile. You miss that advantage you get on your own floor. So that's why this year, even though the Lakers are the number one seed, seeding really doesn't really matter as much because of you're not playing and playing that final possible game in your home floor. Everything's neutral right now. So to me, other than Orlando, we know Orlando's not going to beat Milwaukee. But Portland being an AC, they've got a chance to beat the Lakers because the Lakers are not playing in Staples Center for that last possible game. So everything's open because you're just playing on a neutral court. It's almost like you're playing summer league basketball.
Mike, you think the NBA is too soft now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Physicality?
Obviously you can't have a McHale, Kurt Rambis type situation. Nobody wants that. But these guys now, they have to stop the game and review for a flagrant one or two, like four or five times a game. It's ridiculous. And then the referees call every little bump now, especially on screens. And then you can't talk to the referees or give them attitude, Coop, like we used to be able to do in the 70s and 80s, where the referees would tell us to shut the bleep up, your big baby, and keep playing. You know, and if you kept talking to them, then they would tee you up. But you can't even look at a referee now and they give you a technical foul. You can't look at a guy and just give him the eye after you dunk on him. They call that taunting. That's all part of basketball, Coop. As you know, playing basketball and trash talking and giving each other nasty looks and stuff. That's all part of the game and that's all part of the entertainment. And the NBA is taking that away from us fans.
And you know what? The fun part about that you mentioned about the officials, I remember Joey Crawford was a nasty little official, but very good. But Boston was killing us one time. It was actually the Boston Massacre. And I was complaining to Joey, and Joey said, Coop, shut the f*** the basketball game. That's why you're getting your ass whipped. So I understand how that was then. I mean, and I love that. You can't talk to the officials, but but
pretty straightforward.
It's hard. It's hard, and it is.
Yeah, I remember as a rookie, one of the big shock, welcome to the NBA moments was when I was playing against the Detroit Pistons and Bob Lanier was on the team. They made a bad call on Bob Lanier. Bob Lanier talked to the referee and said, "What kind of effing call is that?" And the referee said, "Shut the F up." You can talk like that? But nah, you can't do that. You can't even hardly question a call. Technical foul. Come on. They gotta start. Let it get back to trash talking. That's part of the entertainment. Part of the show is when guys are trash talking each other.
Hey, MT, what do you think about that format they had, that play-in with Portland and Memphis? What do you think about that?
Well, I like it. I hope that's here to stay, Coop. And I think it will be because it was a big, it was very popular with the fans and the players seemed to like it. And if you're the eighth seed, you might say, well, this is unfair. Well, then don't be the eighth seed, be the seventh seed. Yeah. But there's all other fan bases involved. You're the ninth or tenth seed and you have a chance for that play-in game that keeps their fan base more interested as the playoffs draw near. So I think it's a concept that they should definitely keep from now on. And they got to start adding 4-point arc. You see where Damian Lillard's shooting from? Put a 4-point line, man.
They may have to, but I'm with you, MT. I like that plan because, again, in the past, teams that finish that 9th, 10th seed and you're only like a half a game out and all of a sudden the season's over where you don't get – I agree with them with that. That's the second thing we've agreed on, and I'm getting scared, MT, because I'm starting to think like you, and that's something I never thought I wanted to do.
Because you're allowing yourself to be educated by me. You aren't being you were 30 years ago.
You think Portland has any shot to beating
– I do read a little bit more now, MT. Because then we get older, that's all we got left.
Yeah, I got extra strong glasses, too, with them old eyes of yours.
You think the Blazers have a shot against the Lakers?
Shot? Are you kidding me? I'm scared to death. These guys have a very good chance to beat the Lakers. Now, I think the Lakers will win in 6 or 7 games. But Portland's not an 8 seed. When they're fully healthy, they're more like a 2 or 3 seed. And the way Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum and Nurkic is playing, they've got the size and the perimeter game to give the Lakers a lot of trouble. Because Carmelo's looking like he's reborn. Gary Trent has taken his game to another level. And Whiteside and Nurkic together, they can match up front with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. But the advantage the Lakers have is they got nobody. And this goes to everybody in the playoffs. They have nobody who can deal with LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Well, you know what, MT, and I was going to say that later, but let's jump on into the playoffs. I think, and again, I talked about this and I did a little slam dunk. I was very fearful for the Lakers taking on this Portland team because they don't have anybody that can guard those two players, McCollum and Damian Lillard. I don't think so. I think LeBron could handle Carmelo Anthony a little bit. I think AD will deal with them other two people on the side, I think, is length. But the Lakers' problem is they don't score them other three people, whether it's Caruso, Kuzma, KCP, whoever it is on those other three spots. If they don't score enough, then their defense is not strong enough to keep McCollum from getting 30 or getting Damian going for 60, 65. If you have to put a number on that series, what would you say?
As far as how many games?
Yeah, how many games? Who's going to win? You already said you think Portland could win.
I think Portland could win, but I think the Lakers will eke it out in 6 very tough games, very close competitive games. So 6 games, 7 games really don't matter now because the 7th game is not going to be played at Staples here in L.A., so it doesn't matter with that. But I think by 6 games, the Lakers will figure it out. Damian and CJ have got to carry the Blazers every night. So that means to me, they have to average about 60 points combined between those two. And eventually the Laker backcourt's going to have to step up and try just slow them down a little bit, hold them in the high 40s, low 50s. If they could do that, Lakers could beat them in six games.
No, that's what I think. I think 7. But the difference between this now is there's no travel. So Lillard and McCollum can do that every night because they ain't got to get on a plane and go anywhere or do anything like that. So that series scares me more than any other series, and we'll talk about the other ones there. But I'm with you. I think the Lakers will find a solution, but they better be ready to play defense this entire series.
No question about it. You got to pick up Damian Lillard from 40 feet because he's very comfortable shooting from 40 feet. Crazy. No,
you got to pick him up from 50, 60 feet. That kid is shooting. I've never seen him. That one shot he hit against Memphis where he just came across half court and just raised, and it was like a flick of his wrist. He's probably one of the most dynamic scorers or long-distance scorers from a guard perspective that I've ever seen.
He's in the top 5 of long-range shooters. Him, Steph. I think Klay could do it because he's shown he can do it before. But, yeah, Damian Lillard's definitely a top 4 long-range shooters ever.
And he was just on the stretch right now. He was averaging 53 points over the course of that 3-game stretch, averaging
Big deal. Tell him to do it for a whole season like Wilt did.
He can't do that, but in this bubble, he can definitely do that. You got 4-2. I got 4-3 Lakers. Next series, let's go Celtics Sixers.
Celtics in five, but I'll Ben Simmons. They got no shot.
Wait, I don't get to pick? I don't get to pick his series here?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. All right. I know who you better go with.
I'll go Lakers in seven in that one. I'll go Lakers in seven in that one.
All right, Sixers and Celtics.
Five games at the most. Without Ben Simmons, the Sixers got no shot. Boston's at full strength. So Boston kind of beats them, even with Ben Simmons there for the most part anyway. But without Ben, they got no shot. So, and who knows? If they get beaten five or possibly four, they may think about splitting up that pair and see what they could get for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, a ton of talent. A ton of talent on the Sixers, but the injury to Simmons, obviously, and just they just don't seem to be cohesive, and it's just a team that doesn't get along, that goes a long way in telling you who wins and loses in this. And obviously, without Simmons, that's huge. So I'll take the Celtics in five.
I'll take Celtics in five, and I think what they should do is fire the coach and get Alvin Gentry. Alvin has an eye for bringing teams together. I think that would be a good move. Raptors next.
Raptors will sweep Brooklyn, man. Raptors are playing as if they got something to prove, Coop, that they didn't win last year just because the Warriors got hurt and just because they had Kawhi Leonard. They played very well this year, so that'll be a sweep.
All right.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Raptors have the experience. I think they have to prove it because, as MT just mentioned, I mean, nobody gives them the credit that they won the title last year without Kawhi. I'll take the Raptors also to sweep. That's a good call.
You know, since I don't read a lot, and MT has expressed that, I'm kind of in and out on this series here. I actually had the Nets 4-3.
Wow.
What? But listening, yes, MT, I did. The way those guys shot against Portland, that the two games, what is that, last week, this weekend?
That's one game. Got
the basketball. Well, the biggest thing is there's no travel and no home court advantage. So they're shooting on the court. So anyway, I've changed my mind. And I'm going to go Raptors in seven. I think Brooklyn's going to make that a series.
No possible way. You saw today that the Raptors already beaten them by 20-something points. It's going to be like that every game. Not enough fight. Now, next year, with KD and Kyrie on the floor, then you got a different you got a good argument there, right. But not this year. Come on.
I don't see that team getting any better. I think you're going to have to let one of those go. It has to be Kyrie. But you got LeVert and them kids. They can shoot the basketball. But you got it that way. Mavericks, Clippers.
Clippers, because I got them going all the way to the finals to play the Lakers, so no reason to point to pick against them now. So, no, the Mavericks got no shot. Five games at the most.
I'm in Dallas, and there's a ton of Maverick fever here for this young, good basketball team. You know, the Clippers are going to be way too much for them. I mean, this is a Clippers team that has their sights set on winning a championship and playing the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. But I do think the Mavericks make it tough. Luka Doncic is unbelievable, one of the best young players in the league. Porzingis is playing much better. I'll say a six-game series, and maybe I'm being nice to the Mavs because they went 0-3 against the Clippers this year in the regular season, but I'll take the Clippers to win in six.
I'm taking the Clippers to win in seven. I think that'll go 4-3. Luka and Porzingis will do enough to keep that series interesting. The thing about the Clippers, and you watch them a little bit, Kawhi goes in and out of games. He's still consistent, but there'll go periods where he'll go flat, and they can't afford to do that against this Maverick team. Very good basketball team. I like them, but the Clippers. OKC versus Rockets.
Ooh, that's a good one. This is a pick 'em because Westbrook's not going to play in game one. Who knows how healthy he'll be throughout the series. Oh, boy. But James Harden is James Harden. He's not going to want to lose to Chris Paul after he sort of kicked Paul out of Houston. So I think Houston will find a way to win that one in six.
All right.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, James Harden, you mentioned how good he is. He has struggled at times in the playoffs. I remember a couple of years ago watching him just not do anything in game six after Kawhi went down against the Spurs and then not do anything in game seven and watch the Kawhi-less Spurs beat them in a series. It's just so weird to see a player that's so good not perform at the level that we're used to seeing in the regular season, in the postseason. Oklahoma City's fun. Like, they're everything that the Rockets aren't. Like, they maximize their talent in such a great way. They play great team defense. I think it's a seven-game series, and I'm going with the Thunder to upset the Rockets in a seven-game series. In seven, sorry.
That's what I got, all right. I got OKC 4-3.
Ooh.
I think they're going to get it done. I think if any series they can win will be this one. And granted, if they get past the Rockets, then their season is over with. It's just a matter of when. But you I think Chris Paul will bring up enough of this old Chris Paul to where he'll beat them.
You think D'Antoni loses his job if they don't get out of the first round here?
I do. I really do. I think so. And I think because that small ball, that is not – I mean, that's something that you use every now and then. You can't consistently win like that. And, MT, I think you said this before. When the day when it'll come in like a year or 2 or 3 years down the road that a legitimate big man comes back into this league, then there'll be some normalcy in basketball again. But right now, I don't see the Rockets beating OKC. Miami Pacers?
I got to go with Miami. Jimmy Butler is a tough son of a gun. Pacers, Oladipo hasn't been the same since his injury. TJ Warren's going to come back down to earth. He's not going to continue to keep playing like he's Kobe Bryant all of a sudden. So I think the Heat win that one in five.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, MT. I like the Heat to win this one in a pretty easy series as well for the reasons you just outlined. I'll take the Heat in five as well.
You know, I wasn't a very smart student in the classroom, and I had this concept called Coop's 5 D's, and that was my report card from about the fifth grade to the seventh grade. So I'm going to go Miami first. I'm not as astute as Michael Thompson. I'm taking the Pacers over Miami 4-3. 4-2, 4-3. I'm going to go with that. MT, I done lost my mind a little bit because the quarantine has gotten me all frazzled, but I'm hanging in here. Orlando versus the Bucks.
Man, you would have taken General Custer at Little Big Horn, and you would have taken Davy Crockett at the Alley too. Man, what is wrong with you?
It's seven, though. It's seven he was taking them in.
Let's go, MT. Orlando over the Bucks.
I was going to talk about this series, Coop. Okay, wait. I'll go Bucks. I want to hear your prediction of Orlando over Milwaukee. You may as well, because it has always been just as crazy. Go ahead, Coop. Tell us Orlando's going to win this one in 7-2.
Oh, I got Bucks 4-1.
Oh, nice.
Sorry, who do you got?
I'll take the Bucks to sweep. It should be the easiest series in the entire NBA.
How's Orlando even going to get a game, Coop?
Right. My
All right, MT, lightning round. You know what it is. Five. I'm going to give you five things. You got to answer a quick one or take your time with them. Black Lives Matter.
What about it?
Tell me about it. How you feel about it?
I think it's sometimes I just roll my eyes. Like, why would that even be a question is if black people's lives don't matter? Why do you even have to ask that question? Think about it. You have to ask someone that or a certain population, if a certain race of people matter. I just think it's just kind of an ignorant way to have to live, to even act. It's demeaning to ask if anyone's life matters who's out there trying to lead a productive and respectful life. It just drives me crazy.
Well, it is a movement, and I'm hoping that it'll continue to be a movement forever, because again, remember, our kids are coming up through that. Let's hope that it moves through November the 3rd and everybody, all black people, all people in general need to get out and vote. Calvin Natt.
Ooh, Calvin Natt. We used to call him the Pit Bull because of the way he played. You remember him? He was tough one. I was a teammate of his with the Lakers when I was with the Blazers. And Magic told me one time when I was with you guys, with the Lakers, Magic told me, man, Calvin Natt, that's one guy I didn't want to guard because Calvin was physical and tenacious. And always came at you when he was in the Blazers, then when he went to Denver. He was a tough, tough guy.
And you know what? The thing about him is that usually people are physical on the defensive end. He was physical on the offensive end because he beat you up trying to get his shot off. So, yes, that's a good one. Bobby Gross.
Bobby Gross, the quintessential role player who can move without the ball, smart defensive player, would knock down the occasional jump shot. Wasn't required to carry the team, but he's the kind of player every team needs to win a championship.
Michelle Obama.
Oh boy, talk about an accomplished lady, huh? Going from college, where she go to Princeton, I believe, became a lawyer, first lady, one of the more respected people in America. So yeah, she's made quite a resume of her life. Very successful lady.
You know, when I was going down the list of people who I can ask you about, this one here really got me. And I can't wait to hear your answer on this one. Gandhi.
Hey, he was a brave man. You know, went out there and stood up to the British Empire about independence and wanting his own people to run his own country, and wanted to do it peacefully. So he was the Indian version of Martin Luther King, you know, or Nelson Mandela. Just wanted to do it through peaceful means and get equality and the right to self-rule. So you have a lot of respect for that guy. He lived a life. He would walk for hundreds and hundreds of miles to get his message across to his people. So I have a lot of respect for Mahatma Gandhi.
Would you consider him one of the smartest people over you?
He would be.
You'd have to think about it.
Yeah, in a room. I would let him in the room, but I'd have to lead the discussion.
All right, MT, last couple of things we're going to discuss. Talk about five of the best players at each position, okay? Let's start with the point guards. Let me hear your five best point guards, and don't include today's player. Just the players that have retired. Five best point guards.
Well, it's silly to name five, so I'll just name four.
You know what? Before you do that, let me give you mine, okay? I mean, here's mine, and not necessarily in this order.
Don't even mention Magic, because now you talk about who's the next point guard after that. That's how we should couch this question. After Magic, greatest point guards.
Bob Cousy, yeah. John Stockton, Nate Archibald, Magic Johnson, and I've even thrown Allen Iverson in there, and I had to throw in Mark Price.
Those are all great players, all Hall of Famers except for Mark, but Mark was tough too. So my four behind Magic would be, in no particular order, Isaiah Thomas, Steve Nash, John Stockton, and Steph Curry.
You can't use Curry.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right. I've got to be retired. Yeah. So Stockton, Nash, Isaiah, and Jason Kidd.
I forgot about Nash and Kidd myself. All right, you?
It's a good list. Magic, Stockton, Isaiah, Steve Nash. I mean, wow. So I was thinking about LeBron. Obviously, LeBron.
He's not a point guard.
Point guards. All right. Point guards.
Most of the offense down the stretch is going through him.
Point guards. All right. He ain't no point guard.
Scottie Pippen used to run the point for Chicago. Is he a point guard too?
So who was the? I mean, who was the Bulls? Would you call Jordan their point guard? Was he their off guard? Would you call B.J. Armstrong?
Just a guard. Back in
Armstrong was a point guard.
When I was growing up, we just had two guards. You know, now you got to have this point guard, shooting guard stuff. How about just guards?
Right, and now now when you look at who's initiating the offense, especially down the stretch of games, I mean, Kawhi Leonard initiates the offense down the stretch.
All right, listen, this is the Showtime with Koo. Answer the question: five point guards and what's called is not a point guard, LeBron.
Well, and he's currently playing anyways. So, man, you, John Stockton. I mean, Magic number one. John Stockton's got to be up there on the list. I think he's second or first all time in assists. Isaiah, Steve Nash, back to back MVP. I feel like I'm just rereading Michael Thompson's list because I haven't had enough time to think about it on my own. So
he is smart. You got to remember that Michael's very, very smart.
He just came up with it just like that.
Okay, here we go. Shooting guards. Here's my list: Kobe, Jordan, Craig Hodges, Joe Dumars.
Hodges.
And I put Isaiah Thomas and Benny. Huh? Isaiah, to me, is a shooting guard. He wasn't no point guard to me.
Craig Hodges?
Hodges. Are you serious?
He was a good shooter. One of
the shooting guards in the game. And the Bulls won one of their first couple championships without him.
Man, he's just doing that messing with us. All right, there's my greatest shooting guards ever, in no particular order. Obviously, Kobe, Michael Jordan, Jerry West. I'm going to throw Oscar Robertson in there and Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade, a shooting guard?
Yeah, he's a shooting guard, of course.
Ari?
All right, how about MJ 1, Kobe 2, Reggie Miller 3, George Gervin 4. I can't believe you guys didn't put Gervin in there.
Wow, well, that is, yeah.
You're going to put him over Wade or Oscar?
And then Ray Allen is 5 for me.
Oh, that's a good one. Forgot about him. Small forwards. Mine are Rick Barry, Dr. J, Jamal Wilkes, James Worthy, and then I had David Thompson, Mike Mitchell, Elgin Baylor.
Who was your number one?
Rick Barry.
What about the guy who used to guard? He's not on this list?
Oh, and Bird's on the list. Sorry, I had him on there. Not in no particular order. Those are the ones. Bird actually was number five.
All right. My small forward lists of all time, and you should be ashamed of yourself because you didn't mention Elgin Baylor.
I did. I put him on there. I had Baylor.
Yeah, just okay. But Elgin Baylor, Dr. J, LeBron, KD, and Bird. Oh, no, wait a minute. I keep forgetting you can't do
LeBron,
a current.
KD, yeah.
Barry and Bird.
You know who I forgot about was Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah, I know. I mean, somebody, you know, he deserves mention, serious consideration, yeah.
All right.
It's crazy to think of the players on this list that play now. I mean,
yeah.
Durant, Antetokounmpo, Kawhi, LeBron. I mean, this is like, it's Paul George. It's crazy how good the people are at this position now. I mean, I'll go Larry Bird.
50, hey, they ain't nothing right now. Anyway, go ahead.
Larry, Elgin, Rick Barry, definitely. Dr. J, definitely. Scottie Pippen, definitely.
No James Worthy for you?
No.
Man. Power forwards. And I'm really serious about this. Michael Thompson, you made my power forward list. I want you to know that.
All right. Ooh, you're not as crazy as I thought you were.
Okay. I got Mikhail, Maurice Lucas, Lonnie Shelton, Tim Duncan, Gus Johnson, and Michael Thompson.
I like it.
That's my power forward list.
I'll take that. I'm going to go, for me, Karl Malone, Tim Duncan.
Wow, I forgot about Karl. Okay.
Yeah.
You left Karl off your list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You made the list. It's either you or him. I went with the pretty guy.
He's like second in the all-time scoring list.
Yeah, if you have to, Coop, you can take me off of Karl Malone. I'll accept that.
Go ahead. I'll put an asterisk next to you.
All right. Yeah, do that. As the first substitute in case Karl can't perform his duties like they do in the beauty contest. All right. So Karl Malone, Duncan, Mikhail, Elvin Hayes, and Bob Pettit.
You know what? I had considered Elvin Hayes. I did.
Yeah. And Bob Pettit.
I didn't
really
put him as a power forward or a center.
Yeah.
I've got right. Tim Duncan, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, Kevin McHale, Dirk Nowitzki.
Ooh, forgot yeah. Barkley, too.
Yeah.
Round, mound, all rebound.
Right. Here's my centers. Wilt, Kareem, Russell, Willis Reed, Shaquille O'Neal.
What?
But I also had Unseld, Moses Malone, Robert Parrish, and David Robinson. And my keeper is Jack Sigma.
Man, you only can put five on there, Coop. Jeez. I mean, without a doubt, I mean, this is a no-brainer. This is the easiest category to select of the greatest five centers ever.
I mean,
how could Kareem, Wilt, Bill Russell, Shaq, and Hakeem. What is wrong with you?
That's exactly my five.
Oh, I forgot Hakeem. Okay, yeah.
MT and I had no time to prepare for this.
Did you have Bill Russell on your initial five, Coop?
Yeah, I have Russell.
What about Hakeem?
I didn't have him.
What?
I got Willis Reed over him.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Even the Knicks wouldn't pick Willis Reed over him.
The list is, it's Kareem 1, Bill Russell 2, Wilt 3, Hakeem 4, and Shaq 5, yeah. I think.
That's a no-brainer, Coop. Yeah. My goodness. Jeez. Well, we sure hope you ever judge Miss America or Miss USA. I won't say who you'll pick. I don't want to name any names, but I guarantee everybody will up in arms about it.
Good news is he had a bunch of teammates on the list. Shows you how good of a teammate he was. It is.
Yeah, I'm always going to take my teammates. I even added you, MT, and I don't really think you should be on the list.
Who's the greatest coach ever, Coop? Is it Auerbach, Phil, or Pat Riley, or Popovich?
I only played for one, Pat
right.
Riley. But
that's what
watching the other one, watching the other ones, listen, watching the other ones, I really, really like Popovich's style. I think he got the most out of average players. And to you? Average
players? He had 4 Hall of Famers. What are you talking about?
But Hall of Famers don't necessarily win any championships all the time, MT. It's the Michael Coopers, the Michael Thompsons, AC Green. It's those players that helped win, the Bob McAdoos.
Are you kidding me? We just was picking up the scraps after dinner, after those guys played. Me and you and Kurt Rambis. Are you kidding me?
What, you think it's Riley?
Yeah, I think it's Riley, but most people will say Phil Jackson, and I'm not going to argue with you if you do say Phil Jackson or even Red Auerbach. But for me, it's Pat Riley because he could adapt his style better than just about everybody. Because with the Showtime Lakers, it was all about fast break and defense. Then he changed the style. He went to New York, became thuggish type basketball, and they won there. Then they went to Miami, and he won there with Shaq and Dwayne Wade. So he was more adaptable than those other coaches to me.
Well, and that's the reason I have Pop as the best of all time for that exact reason. Because, I mean, you look at the way that they won in 99 when it was like, they would just dump the ball to either Robinson or Tim Duncan, let them go to work, to when they won against the Heat. It was a completely different style. He's also so far ahead of the curve. You know, he was the first coach to really exploit the corner three as being the shortest distance shot, and he really used that a ton. He really stretched minutes and resting guys and not overplaying guys.
You like that? You pay to go to a game to watch Tim Duncan play, and he's still perfectly healthy. You take your kids to the game, and he ain't playing. You like that?
I don't say it was for the better of the game. I just said it was influential.
He implemented that management. Right. The idea of load management.
Right.
I mean,
imagine if you spend $500-$600 on tickets to take your two kids and your wife to the game. Hey, let's go see Tim Duncan play, man, and Tony Parker and Ginobili. You get to the game and they ain't playing. Wouldn't you feel like, hey, let's go? I don't want to see a bunch of backups play. I want to see the stars.
Well, right. The one thing you got to give Pop is that he had the ability, kind of like Jerry West, where Jerry West can get that player on the team, but Pop can go find that one European player or Spanish player. He could always find that one player that came in to fit in with the call. That's what I liked about it, and used him. Found a way to use him in his system to win championships.
Yeah, so you take Pop over Riles. I'm gonna call
Riles.
Well,
you know what? Like I said, if you're asking me one coach, it's definitely gonna be Pat Riley. But from the outside looking in, I would think Pop to me has a little edge over Riley. I mean, he has a little edge over all of them. Phil Jackson's a great coach too.
You know, Phil.
Red Auerbach's a great coach. Pardon me?
Did I remind you, Phil's got 11 rings. The Pop, which is 5.
Yep. However, to your point,
talking about a guy that was spoon-fed championships by having great players.
Well,
by having great players.
He
you
didn't
know
evolve.
What?
He never had to evolve.
To go coach one of today's team then, if he's
Wait
so good.
If that was the case, then why didn't Doug Collins win in Chicago with Jordan and Pippen? And why didn't Dell Harris win with Kobe and Shaq? Explain that.
He
goes that argument.
Phil never had to win outside of the triangle. He never had to win outside the triangle. That's it. He never had to adapt.
I couldn't get the bat off my shoulder with that one. You make a good point.
That's right.
Red and Phil.
In front of a bunch of great musicians.
Red and Phil are the greatest ever because they've won the most titles, but they never had to evolve like Riley or Pat
exactly.
or Popovich did.
And if Tex wasn't there, Phil wouldn't know how to run the triangle.
Yeah, you got to give Tex a lot of credit, just like Bill Burka helped Pat Riley out a lot.
Oh, heck yeah.
Right.
MT, ask you a question. Do you know about Manscaped?
Yeah, I heard about it. Yeah, I see the commercials and stuff, and I don't have to do it because we like our man Harry in the Bahamas.
Well, listen, just for those guys that are Harry in the Bahamas, they have a perfect package of 3.0. It's called the Lawnmower. Waterproof cordless body trimmer, performance boxer brief, and a travel bag. Why don't you pass it on to them guys that you like that are real hairy? Because most women don't like hairy guys.
Really? Women like to see guys look like 12-year-old boys? I guess I shouldn't say that. That's kind of bad.
Exactly. No, now you're getting out of realm. But you know what? Women like a man that's well-groomed.
That's okay? True.
And they got this thing called the Crop Reviver. It's a spray-on toner for your balls. Ooh. It's made with soothing alloy, witch hazel extract that will give your balls a boost.
Really? No more razor. No more razor burn, huh?
Wait, I thought the Bahamas.
And it keeps your balls from sticking to your leg.
And down in the jungle, man, we don't care about shaving.
Anyway, you need to get your boys, your friends, and your boys a Manscaped. Keep everything real smooth and clean, like the top of your head.
I'll give it a shot. Send me over a case, will you?
Hey, listen, that's it for Showtime with Coop. Another enjoyable experience with Michael Thompson, one of the all-time greatest eargasm guys.
Right, and don't forget second best looking Laker in history next to Rick Fox.
Michael, thank you,
boys.
Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. All right, any last words for him?
No, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, MT, very much.
That's right. Let's go, Lakers. 16 more wins, baby. That's all we need.
All right. Thanks, MT.
Okay. Talk to you later.